Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin our program on careers today with an article which appeared in the New York Times on the 24th of August. The title of this article is "The Old Days Are Now Over for Valley Jobs." This refers to Silicon Valley. It's become the shut up and grind era, workers say. The article was written for the New York Times by Kate Conger. When Rachel Gray started working at Google as a software engineer back in 2007, it was a good time to be a Noogler, or what the search giant called new employees. At a two-week orientation at Google's headquarters in Mountain View, California, Ms. Gray discovered a utopia of perks. The company's cafeterias were serving steak and shrimp. Kitchens were stocked with fresh juices, and gyms offered free workout classes. Workers received stock grants on top of their salaries, a 50% match on their retirement contributions, and a Christmas bonus that came in the form of $1,000 tucked into an envelope. What also made an impression on Ms. Gray during orientation was that Google revealed how many machines were in its data centers. "I say how transparent things were in the company," she said, about the normally hush-hush information. Over the years, though, her experience has changed as she became a software engineering manager. The Christmas bonus shrank. Employees were no longer provided a fire hose of corporate information. The company abandoned a pledge that its artificial intelligence would not be used for weapons. The budget for promotions dried up, pressuring Ms. Gray to lower performance ratings, which she said was stunningly painful. In April, just shy of 18 years on the job, the 48-year-old quit what was once her dream job. Life for workers at Silicon Valley's biggest tech companies is different, very different. Gone are those days when Google, Apple, Meta, and Netflix were the dream destinations for technology workers, offering fat salaries, lush corporate campuses, and say-nothing, do-nothing cultures. Now the behemoth firms have aged into large bureaucracies. While many of them still provide free food and pay well, they have little compunction cutting jobs, ordering mandatory office attendance, and clamping down on employee debate. It's the shut up and grind era, workers are saying. Tech could still be best in terms of free lunch and a high salary, Ms. Gray said, but the level of fear has gone way up. "I suppose it's better today to have lunch and be scared to death than to not have lunch and be scared to death, but I don't know if it's good for you to be there," she added. A Google spokeswoman said that many employees had been promoted and that the company had changed its performance management system to better reward the higher performers. The company has introduced policies meant to encourage employees to focus on their work while also staying true to Google's goals and culture, she said. As the tech companies became hulking entities with workforces larger than many towns and costs to match, scrutiny increased as well. Meta, Google, Apple, and others as well were driven to make changes as workers and the public questioned their power. The turning point came in 2022 and 2023 when Elon Musk bought Twitter, renamed X, and shed three-quarters of its employees, while Meta's chief executive, Mark Zuckerberg, cut thousands of jobs during what he called a year of efficiency. Google and Amazon also conducted mass layoffs. Many of the companies blamed the pandemic for their overhiring during lockdowns as more people turned to digital services. Along the way, the companies became less tolerant of employee outspokenness. Bosses reasserted themselves after workers protested issues, including sexual harassment in the workplace. With the job market now flooded with qualified engineers, it then became easier to replace those who criticized. This is a business, not a place to act in a way that disrupts coworkers or makes them feel unsafe, to attempt to use the company as a personal platform or to fight over disruptive issues or debate politics, Sundar Pichai, Google's chief executive, said in a blog post last year. Some would say that the changes have simply aligned tech workers with the rest of corporate America, where employees are accustomed to fulfilling corporate priorities. But the shift in tech was compounded by the rise of generative artificial intelligence, which executives say has already made some jobs redundant. In January, Mr. Zuckerberg said he believed AI would replace some mid-level engineers this year. Mr. Musk went further, predicting last year that AI would eventually eliminate all jobs. The tide has definitely turned against tech workers, said Catherine Bracey, the founder and chief executive of Tech Equity, a nonprofit that pushes for economic inclusion in the industry. Companies have even more leverage to use against the workers, and artificial intelligence is supercharging that. Liz Fong Jones, the field chief technology officer at Honeycomb, which is a San Francisco company that helps engineers find and debug problems in their code, said AI's effect on jobs was overblown. But that could change 5 years from now, she cautioned. Technology workers could stop artificial intelligence from taking hold, said Ms. Fong Jones, who is a former Googler, adding, but we're all afraid enough to go along with training our own replacements. For some tech workers, the change in the workplace was abrupt. Adam Treitler, who is 32, a human resources strategist who worked at Twitter's New York office before and after Mr. Musk's acquisition, said the company's moves under its new owner were startling. From the day before Elon to the day after Elon, it pivoted overnight from how do we improve HR management to what are the fewest number of steps involved and the fewest number of people needed to pay our employees, said Mr. Treitler, who joined Twitter in 2021 and left in January of 2023. He now works for the jewelry company Pandora. X did not respond to a request for comment. Others said the shift had played out more slowly. Eva Sazunami, who is a designer in her 40s in Seattle, joined Meta in 2022 to make tools to help users with their privacy settings. The mother of two said she had felt empowered to help solve some of the tech concerns that worried her as a parent. Meta also allowed a flexible schedule so that she could accompany her children to appointments, and LGBTQ-friendly policies made her feel welcome because she had gay family members, she said. But over time, Meta curtailed its family benefits, Ms. Zazami said. In January, the company killed its diversity programs and social media policies against hate speech targeting LGBTQ people. A month later, she was laid off when Meta cut 5% of its workforce. We're seeing right now why tech needs unions, says Ms. Suzumyami, who is looking for a new job. The current culture has disempowered workers. A Meta spokeswoman declined to comment. In an earnings call in January, Mr. Zuckerberg said, "We operate better as a leaner company." Some workers are leaving big tech companies to join the AI fray. Jason Yuan, 28, started as a designer at Apple's headquarters in Cupertino, California, back in 2021. It felt like a lucky break to work for a company that he revered for its design, he said. Yet after the artificial intelligence boom arrived with the release of OpenAI's ChatGPT chat box in 2022, Mr. Yuan said he yearned to get involved. In 2023, he left Apple to start New Computer, a company that makes a personal companion chatbot. He hopes to work more speedily and make more money, as AI is likely to replace him in his lifetime, he said. We're reaching the end of our economic lifespan, he said, adding, there is a feeling of I have to make whatever I do now count. Apple declined to comment. For Ms. Gray, Google's exhilarating early days seem like another lifetime. The work was not always easy, she said, but the company's culture made it easier to power through. One day, she recalled, she and her coworkers arrived to find Nerf guns on their desks. When a power outage hit, shutting down computers, they grabbed their Nerf guns and broke into a friendly fight. Google had such a glow about it then, she said. There was an institutionally approved playfulness to it all. I loved that. Now, the future of the whole industry seems very shaky, said Ms. Gray, who is taking time off from tech. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the Wall Street Journal, the 25th of October. This article was written for the journal by Harriet Torrey. The title is Women's Pay Declines as Return to Office Requirements Pick Up. Women who want work from home flexibility are finding it comes with a price. By last year, women working full-time made 81 cents on the dollar compared with men, the widest pay gap since 2016, according to the Census Bureau's latest data. And more recent numbers from the Labor Department indicate that men are outpacing women this year as well when it comes to weekly earnings growth. Economists examining the widening gap said there are likely several factors at play here, including the high cost and scarce availability of affordable child care. But their leading theory is the effort by many companies to get workers back into the offices, which can prompt some women to quit, turn down promotions, or opt for lower-paying jobs with more flexibility. Women have fallen behind in the return-to-office push, reflecting the barriers they can still hit when juggling careers and families, even after decades of workplace gains. This traces back to gender norms in society in general that put a disproportionate share of household responsibilities and child care on the women, said Francine Blau, who is an economics professor at Cornell University. By the time Jane Varble's maternity leave for her second child ended in February, the COVID-19 era option of working remotely a couple of days a week at her St. Louis-based accounting job for the federal government had ended. Within 2 or 3 weeks' time, I was like, I cannot do this, said the 34-year-old, whose husband works nights in a warehouse, making daycare pickups harder. I was crying driving to and from work because I was so exhausted. Varble took a government buyout this spring and now has a fully remote job at a law firm, saving her nearly 2 hours of daily commuting time while preserving flexibility to take her children to doctor's appointments. I took about a 25% pay cut, but it was well worth it, she said. The share of women in their prime working years, aged 25 to 54, who are working or looking for a job, has stagnated this year, while it increased for men, federal data show. Economists believe this reflects an overall low-fire labor market, returning to office mandates, plus the struggle many families have finding affordable child care. Accounting firm KPMG found labor force participation among women with at least a bachelor's degree and a child up to age 5 has declined 2.3 percentage points since the start of 2023. For women with no degree and no children, it has increased nearly 1 percentage point. Over the past 4 decades, the gap between women's earnings relative to men's has largely trended in one direction. It got smaller as women made gains in education and entered the workplace in larger numbers. By 2022, women working full-time and year-round peaked at making 84 cents on the dollar compared with men, census data show. But the next year, the ratio made its first statistically significant decline in 2 decades, dropping women to less than 83 cents on the dollar. Then it happened again in 2024, when men's earnings rose 3.7%, while women's did not change significantly. Many men, particularly younger men, are also struggling in the current labor market. The share of men ages 25 to 34 who are working or looking for a job has increased over the past year, but remains more than 3 percentage points below its recent peak in 2007. Women make up most of the college-educated workforce, but also are overrepresented in lower-earning jobs such as home health aides, cashiers, and food servers. Gabriella Remeux, who is a college administrator in Miami, said hybrid work arrangements were perfect for her. As a mother, as a wife, as somebody who is in a career, it felt like you almost had superpowers that you can do it all, she said. But then her employer called everyone back into the office full-time in August. She has kept her job, but is spending more time commuting and more money on after-hours care for her 2 children. Women are nearly 3 times are more likely than men are to leave a job at a high-tech or financial firm when it introduces a return-to-office mandate, according to a recent paper led by economists at the University of Pittsburgh. The research tracked more than 3 million tech and finance workers' employment histories on LinkedIn through the end of 2023. It found departing workers were more likely to leave for a lower-ranking position after a return-to-office mandate, and the effect was more pronounced for women than it was for men. Basically, they are sacrificing their career advancement opportunities, said Mark Ma, associate professor of business administration at the University of Pittsburgh and one of the paper's authors. Tech worker Christina Hermaniano said that she has turned down 2 job offers since the birth of her son in 2023 that would have offered higher pay but more time in the office. She has opted instead for fully remote roles, even though she feels overqualified. The 38-year-old said that she feels stuck in her career and salary progression. I need to balance my family life and my family commitments, but then I also want to be able to work and bring in income, she said. The next article that I would like to read for you today appeared in the Wall Street Journal the 3rd of November. The title of this article is Cities Are Putting Robots to Work. This article was written for the journal by Jackie Snow. Robots are starting to do jobs such as firefighting, lawn mowing, and beach cleaning, among other things. Robots are coming to a town near you, deployed by cities to do work that is labor-intensive, repetitive, or dangerous for humans. Cities have long lagged behind the private sector when it comes to giving jobs to robots. That is because robots are expensive and work best in highly controlled environments, not exactly the definition of city streets. Questions about safety, cybersecurity, and job displacement also loom large in public settings. Police robots, for example, have occasionally stirred up fears about surveillance and the potential for lethal force. So for now, the robots being rolled out in cities are friendly and low profile. They mow lawns, they clean the beaches, and they guide people through buildings, among other things. And they still have to prove their worth, experts say. Cities are relatively tight budgets, said Peter Stone, a computer science professor at the University of Texas at Austin. And so far, the robots are not making things less expensive. But cities and counties have identified some cases where deploying robots makes sense to them. Here's a look at some of them. First, Kansas City, Missouri, firefighting. The Kansas City Fire Department deployed a firefighting robot in March of 2024 that is capable of delivering more water than most fire engines while keeping firefighters out of hazardous environments. The robot, which has tank-like threads instead of wheels and is roughly the size of a small car, can push out up to 2,500 gallons of water a minute while advancing toward fires and navigating obstacles. Battalion Chief Benjamin Schlegel, who leads the fire department's drone and robotics division, says that the robot has been deployed several times now, primarily for large-scale fires. The department operates the remotely controlled robot alongside drones, which help the operator to chart the best path. The robot features four thermal and visible light cameras, a front blade for pushing vehicles, and a winch for clearing paths. Schlegel says the applications could extend beyond firefighting to wilderness rescue and even active shooter situations where it could transport patients without exposing personnel to danger. As the robot's first deployment, a fire at a recycling facility, the blaze was under control, but the labor-intensive work of extinguishing hot spots remained. The fire initially required 30 firefighters, but once the incident commander saw the robot's capabilities, he released more than half in response, freeing crews for other emergencies. The robot, fire officials say, handled work firefighters work typically spend hours doing in calf-high water and muck. At that recycling fire, there was 12 hours less of smoke overflowing over neighborhoods because we were able to get to the seat of the fire and put it out that much faster, Schlegel says. Next, Englewood, Colorado, building guide. Arapaho Libraries, a public library system in Colorado, plans to deploy a four-wheeled robot at a new co-working facility in Englewood, Colorado. The robot's job is going to be to help visitors navigate the public space, which is opening in early 2026. The building, called the Space and Cafe, will have a 200-person event space, a boardroom, and a variety of meeting spaces that can be reserved by the public. The robot will act as a backup concierge when human staff are unavailable, says Anthony White, the district's director of innovation and technology. Visitors tap the robot screen to select various spaces, and the robot guides them through the building at a customizable walking pace, navigating around obstacles. The library is testing a second robot now for cafe delivery to workspaces. White sees the technology as part of the library's broader mission. We want to expose our patrons to technology that exists in the world in a setting where it's functional, he says. Next, Irvine, California. Accessing public infrastructure. Irvine deployed five robots beginning in late August to conduct a comprehensive assessment of its public infrastructure. The project, aimed at determining compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, typically would have taken at least two city staff members 4 years to complete what will be finished in under 6 months with the robots, according to Vu Tran, a principal civil engineer for the city. The robots are measuring more than 9,000 curb ramps, 950 miles of sidewalk, 400 transit stops, and 70 miles of paved trails, documenting compliance issues such as crossfall slopes, sidewalk uplift, and cracks. Tron said the robots provide far more detailed data than traditional inspection by human assessors. While humans typically measure at 10-foot intervals, the robots take measurements every few centimeters. It's going to be a lot more accurate for us, Tran says. The robots operate during weekday business hours and can run for 12 continuous hours before they need to be recharged. The main challenge has been curiosity. The robots are programmed to stop when pedestrians approach, and people frequently pause to take photos, causing minor delays, according to Tran. Sanford, North Carolina has deployed 10 autonomous lawn mowing robots across roughly 6 acres at City Hall and nearby water towers. The battery-powered robots run up to 23 hours daily, cutting grass continuously in programmed patterns and returning to individual charging docks when needed. The robots provide multiple benefits beyond labor savings, according to Brian Flynn, the horticulturist with the city's grounds division. The robots improve safety by removing workers from potentially hazardous slopes where traditional riding mowers once operated. The frequent cutting also reduces thatch buildup and recreates healthier, thicker grass while minimizing the use of pesticides. These mowers give you consistent quality cuts, so the appearance is neat and uniform 7 days a week, he says. The robots have eliminated noise pollution from gas-powered equipment around City Hall offices and conference rooms. They also have freed up staff to focus on other maintenance tasks, he says. The city engaged residents by crowdsourcing names for some of the robots. Now, Jason Moa, Brittany Shears, and Snippy Longstockings patrol those grounds. This brings us to the end of the time that we have for our program on careers for today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.